20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of a Pack-A-Day Podcast. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thank you so much for making us part of your day. My name is Nick Schmitz, and I will be your host on this Sunday, December 25th, Christmas Day. And the NFL is on Christmas Day today. Green Bay, Miami, that is what we are here to talk about. And Jimmy, Gage, we're recording on the 23rd because we're kind of trying to work around the holidays here. But real quick, before we get into any talk, Jimmy, I know you traveled to Milwaukee, so you're with family for Christmas. You guys doing anything in particular for your Christmas Day other than watching the Packers?
Yeah, we're going to my sister's house, having the family there. We finally got to the point where we convinced people not to give us gifts. They'll still get my kids gifts because it's hard to convince people not to give a 4-year-old and a 1.5-year-old gifts. But I personally do not like getting gifts anymore because I feel like I have too much stuff already. So, we're just going there, watch a Packer game, eat food and, chill out as a family. So I'm excited for that. Nice and relaxed.
Nice. And Gage, what about you? You got any Christmas Day plans?
Either having family, like I don't really have a ton of family that lives around me anymore. Most of them have moved or just like kind of all don't talk to each other. So the couple of family members that do still talk to everybody and live around here are going to try to come over. Kind of depends on how the roads and whatnot are, but I think they should be fine by Sunday. So they'll probably come over. We'll hang out, do gifts, watch the game, and then everybody go their separate ways and then move back on because Sunday is just another day at the end of the day.
It's very true. Well, I'm getting to enjoy my kids' first ever Christmas. So my wife and I, our plan is to count all of the presents and then guess at how many of them belong to my son versus everybody else that's getting gifts. And I'm thinking well over 50% of the stuff under the tree is for my son.
It's a first Christmas is ungodly. It is not. I had so many things. I was like, we don't want and or need this, but I wish I could say it gets better from there. But
plus
so
it's
far,
the first kid, like, I mean, Jimmy's second kid, they probably dialed it back just a little bit.
No one cares about him.
But that first kid, all of everything you might need, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm also curious because for both my parents and my wife's parents, he is the first grandkid for either one of them. So it's not just our first kid. It is their first grandkid. So, the list included a lot of diapers and baby wipes. So we'll see if we actually got any of that.
You're getting toys that play music that will make you want to smash your head on the wall and then just a bunch of different things you really never wanted.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. I'll give you guys an update next week to see exactly what it is that
if you're not here next week, we know what happened. You couldn't handle it. We got you.
Well, we're also a little concerned because when we packed the car, because we're traveling for Christmas, like the car was about as full as you could get it. And we're a little concerned about getting everything back now because there wasn't a whole lot of extra space when we departed Green Bay on Wednesday. So, but it'll be good. It'll be good to spend some time with family, watch the Packers. And, like we said, we're recording on the 23rd just to kind of work around the Christmas holiday. But, before we get into the Packers game, I would assume most people listening kind of know the scenario for Green Bay right now. Win your last three games. Green Bay still needs a little bit of help if they want to get into the playoffs. So if you're listening to us and you're thinking, man, you know, what exactly did Green Bay need? Well, we're rooting for San Francisco to beat Washington, which quite honestly, even though I'm sitting here on the 23rd, not knowing, I'm going to think San Francisco wins that game. Depending on how invested you are in this, we're all rooting for the Vikings to beat the Giants. That's a tough pill to swallow. And then Seattle needs to lose one of their last three games. quite honestly, you're probably rooting against them this weekend just because they're in Kansas City. So, like, if there's like a game that they're probably going to lose, I don't know what their last two games are, but
they play the Jets at home and then they play the Rams at home. So their final two games after this week are a home game against the Jets with either Zach Wilson, Mike White, Chris Streveler, whoever else they put out there. And then the Rams, who today, as we're recording this, shut down Aaron Donald earlier today. So this is the week.
So fingers crossed. Yeah. So fingers crossed. Yeah. Chiefs this week for sure then. And I believe those are the three main ones that I believe.
Those are the main ones. You also wouldn't mind the Panthers beating the Lions because that just gives you one more team that Green Bay can try and leapfrog. And that also makes it to where week 18 would be more important because then depending on how schedules look at that point, Green Bay might have a chance to like win tiebreaker type of deal. But yeah, like they're basically every team that's close to Green Bay in the standings, you're rooting against them this week.
All right. Well, there you have it. Saturday's Christmas Eve, full slate of NFL games. And then Christmas Day, we get Packers and Dolphins at noon Central, Green Bay heading down to Miami. And, you know, they're getting them kind of at the right time of year. Christmas Day, only supposed to be 50 degrees in Miami. So, I mean, you know, you always talk about going down to Miami like early on in the season, like going there in September, you know, when it's just hot and humid. And they talk about how that's kind of like the reverse home field advantage for cold weather teams, just going down there. Teams not used to being in that heat. So, I mean, you know, and I'm sure the Packers aren't complaining at all coming from, you know, negative temperatures on Saturday to, you know, 50 degrees. You know, this game is, you know, obviously they're all must wins at this point. And Jimmy, I got to tell you, you know, Miami is 8-6 and they've kind of been on a struggle the last couple of weeks, but they strike me as a team that just because they've been struggling, I mean, they played a hell of a game against Buffalo last week. They lost to the 49ers, I think it was 2 weeks ago. And then they had kind of their stinker against the Chargers. And, you know, it's hard to tell when you lose to the Chargers because sometimes the Chargers seem like they could win the Super Bowl. And then sometimes you look at the Chargers and wonder how they're not picking in the top five. So, you know, this team is certainly, I would say, better than their record indicates. But, I mean, you know, this is probably, you know, and Tua, that's the other thing. Tua seems to be very hit or miss as well. But outside of Tua, this offense, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, I mean, they could absolutely torch this Packers secondary. But I'll say it quite honestly, I'm not as worried about the passing game because Green Bay has not been great against the run. And if I'm Miami, I would definitely just keep handing the ball off to their running backs until Green Bay proves it. I mean, we are playing a running back that basically absolutely destroyed the 2019 season, making Jimmy Garoppolo only throw 8 passes in a championship game. So, I mean, you know, not to bring up bad memories, but I mean, it's a reality there. So Jimmy, when you're looking at this offense of Miami, I mean, are you more concerned with the pass game or the run game for this Packers defense?
This game, gives us an opportunity to just exercise a lot of demons. One being, hopefully stopping Mostert, which probably he doesn't give me as much worry as the passing attack, mainly because the passing attack loves like getting Hill or Waddle in the middle of the field in open, somewhat open space. Not great for your defense. They're very fast. They're explosive. We've seen from the 49ers, especially the Bills did it a little bit, the way to stop them or at least minimize them. Cause you can't completely stop Tyreek Hill. He's a freak of nature. He's super fast. But the way to minimize him is to press at the line of scrimmage. As we know of Joe Barry, doesn't really like that. He likes to do the soft coverage 99.5% of the time. So the passing game definitely makes me worried. Even with Tua being hit or miss, like get Waddle, like I said, get Waddle, or it doesn't matter if it's a 4-yard completion or a 20-yard completion. The second the ball gets in Waddle or Tyreek Hill's hand, it has a potential to be a touchdown play. So the soft coverage makes me really worried because there's a not many players I'd rather have. I'd be more scared of with the ball in their hand in open field than Tyreek Hill. I think he is maybe Derrick Henry because he's a freak, but just speed wise, and he is hard to tackle. Like I am nervous for the passing game, to put it in short.
All right. And Gage, I mean, you know, we hate to pick on the defense, but I mean, with the way this defense has played this year, I mean, with kind of everything that Jimmy said, it's almost like pick your poison if you're the Packers defense, because I mean, with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, I mean, both of those guys make it very difficult for Green Bay to load the box and just say, hey, throw the football, because you can't, you know, I mean, I don't know, if you're Miami, you're probably praying that Green Bay would just put eight in the box and allow Tua to just, you know, look for, you know, really soft and depleted coverage against Waddle and Jalen, not Jalen, and Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, you know, again, it feels like pick your poison this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. So the whole big thing a couple weeks ago, when the 49ers really gave it to the Dolphins, like that game was 33-17. It wasn't, and even that, like, it wasn't that close. There, Miami got a score on like the first drive of the game when, like, it was one of their first plays from scrimmage because it was a 75-yard touchdown. They got that. They couldn't really do anything the rest of the game, and it all came down to just. It's not a blueprint thing, but they were getting up. They were disrupting timing, because the whole reason that the Dolphins offense works is it's timing based. And everyone wants to shots at Tua and say he's this, that, or the other. But the reason that that offense works is because he throws the ball where the window is going to be and where the guy is supposed to be. But when you bump the receivers and throw off the timing, that messes up everything. It's just one of those things where you have to make the adjustment and do what you haven't been doing all year. It's plain and simple. The Chargers did it to them. That's how the Chargers beat the Dolphins, was they got aggressive and physical all game long. They just went, and they went right at the receivers, and they said, you know what? We might lose to you on a go ball once or twice. Like, that's what happened. Tyreek Hill scored on one when Michael Davis fell down. And it's not like they have like all world corners over there. Asante Samuel Jr. is decent, but other than that, it's just a lot of dudes. And they went and they beat him and they made him look really bad. Tua had what, like three completions in the first half? It's a matter of making the adjustment to do what you haven't been doing, because it's worked for other people. Other defenses have done it. You have to be willing to suck up your pride and say, hey, we're going to try something that other people have been doing that's been working, because what we have been doing isn't working. And if Joe Barry's willing to do that, who knows? Maybe the game goes the way that Green Bay wants it to go. But if you go out and you try and do your zone coverage thing, Tua, Tyreek, and Waddle are going to torch you. They're just going to run all over you all day long. They're not playing in the snow this week, so you don't have that going for you. You're playing in 50-ish degree weather, which, that's not super warm, but it's not super cold. They should have no problem getting up to speed and getting moving. So it's up to Joe Barry and Matt LaFleur, who we heard Troy Aikman, Joe Buck talked about it on the broadcast last week, where they were like, you know, Matt's been telling us for the past few years now that he wants to be more aggressive on defense. Well, damn it, Matt, go tell Joe to make the damn adjustment. Because if you don't, your season's done. And if he makes the adjustment and you guys get beat on man coverage and you guys lose, tip your cap and you move on. But if you do the same thing you've been doing all year, like you did week one against Justin Jefferson, you're going to lose and your season's going to officially be done. And then there's going to be a lot of people looking around like, we didn't change something when we saw a plan that worked for other people. And whose fault is that?
Right. And that's probably what Packer fans will find most frustrating, because, I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't see Joe Barry making those adjustments for this game. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love
it
to be wrong, but
for
I just 15
don't. Weeks.
Yeah. We've the blueprint's been given on how to do it, and Joe Barry's given his blueprint on what he wants to do this year. So, let's flip to the other side of the ball here, Jimmy. I think for Green Bay, this game is going to hinge on the defense. I think if Green Bay is going to win this game, it's going to be, does the defense play well? Miami is solid on defense, and I mean, at this point, if you had to pick a side of the ball that's better for Green Bay, it's clearly the offense. Although, It's not up to what we've been used to seeing. Although, you know, against the Rams, we saw them run the ball really well. It seems like for what feels like the first time this year that A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones were that two-headed monster that we kind of expected them to be. And I don't know if that was because it was super cold. Obviously, you have to take it with a grain of salt because, I mean, the Rams might be one of the most beat-up teams in the league. So, I mean, doing what they did is impressive in the sense that you can still do it. But, I mean, you know, when you're fighting that depleted of a team, you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt. So, I mean, with this offense, you know, obviously Romeo Dobbs coming back last week, he looked good. He kind of picked up, feels right where he left off. Is Green Bay going to win this game offensively by running the ball, or are they going to need to be throwing the ball on Sunday, Jimmy?
I would say everything, like what this season has told us, goes through the run game, especially with Aaron Jones, the way he's been playing all season. Even now, if you like, he got a little banged up at the end of last week, but he's healthy this week. It was like diving in the end zone or something. They said he got a little banged up, but he seems to be good to go. A.J. Dillon has a little bit of a resurgence. I said this on Lombardi's Bar. I feel like he's the Kenny Clark of the offense. Of Kenny Clark is Mr. December on that defensive line, always steps up in December. A.J. Dillon has been that so far in the offense. Like, he's really come into his own this month and just seems to be A.J. Dillon we saw last year. So I think you'd be foolish of the Packers not to ride that out. We saw that last week on his touchdown run, should have been stopped at the 4-yard line, powered it through for a touchdown. And I think everything will go off of that. Like, you look at Miami's defense, they're not great against deep shots. And we happen to have a player who has been really great the last 5 weeks in Christian Watson. He's incredibly fast. We have a little mini, I can't say mini because he's much bigger than Tyreek Hill. But we have someone on our side that anytime he gets the ball can turn into a touchdown. So I think you start with the run game, but with Watson and Dobbs being back and you still have Lazard, you still have Cobb, I think it can be really complimentary, but I think it all starts with that run game. Get AJ and Aaron Jones going, and I don't think any defense can really stop those two.
The Packers offense definitely has the playmakers there. It just doesn't seem like they've put that together on a consistent basis this year, Gage. There's so many different factors that, you know, potentially could go into it. But, I mean, you know, last week against the Rams, Aaron Rodgers was 22 of 30 for 229 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. And, I mean, the completions and the yards look pretty good, but – I mean, it feels like if Green Bay is going to contend, I mean, your back-to-back MVP, it feels like, is going to need to throw more than one touchdown in a game. We're going into this now. You know, it's the second week that they've had Watson and Dobbs on the field when they've both been healthy and, you know, feel to be a part of the offense. So, I mean, you know, Gage, how many points do you think Green Bay is going to need to score to beat Miami? I mean, because it doesn't feel like 24 points is going to be enough.
Well, the first thing I want to say is just a couple of years ago, we saw a team playing without a back-to-back MVP at quarterback who threw just 8 passes in a game that sent his team to a Super Bowl. So on that note, you don't need to throw to win games. You just don't. In fact, Green Bay this year has made the opposite of their MO. They've made it a point to run the ball, and in games where they've ran the ball, those are the games they've won. Granted, part of that would be like game script of, oh, you're leading, so no duh, you're running the ball a lot. But like, you look at, they had 138 yards against LA. They had 175 on the ground against Chicago. Both of those were wins. Against Tennessee and Philly, 106 or 56, then 106. Both of those were losses. 207 yards against Dallas compared to just 208 passing yards. When Green Bay wins, they win on the ground. They don't win in the air. They use the ground to set up the air. And this is not nobody's going to use this argument to be like, oh, you got to run the ball to do play action stuff. No, that's not what it is. It's been proven. That's not a thing. But Green Bay, when they can run the ball on you, they are going to be able to use that to set up the big plays to guys like Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs to get work your way up the field. Alan Lazard is a great blocker in the running game. Using the running game to set up the passing game is what has made Green Bay's offense successful this year. So I almost think that the focus should be if you can run the ball effectively against Miami, that'll open up your chances to try and make big plays. I don't know how many points you're going to need because I don't know what Joe Barry's going to do. If I had any confidence in the world that Joe Barry was going to come out and try and play man, like press man, I might think that Green Bay doesn't use many points. But based on what we've seen this year, I think Green Bay is probably going to need at least 31 points if they're going to win this game. Just because I don't have the confidence that Joe Barry's going to make the adjustment that he needs to make.
All right. Well, real quickly, let's wrap up here with some injuries for the Packers. Bakhtiari seems to be the only one that's not going to play again this week. No surprise there. Jimmy, just looking at the injury report, I mean, you know, we talked about it. It's kind of weird to say, but again, you know, after the bye, they were pretty healthy and, you know, they didn't really have any injuries against the Rams. So, I mean, you know, looking at this injury report, it's definitely one of the better that we've seen throughout the entire year.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this game. Obviously, we're missing Rashawn, but we've been missing him for weeks. Same with Eric Stokes. Like, it's to the point where this team is right now, health-wise, if we don't win this game, it's more of just the team isn't good enough. Like, there's no reason injury-wise. Like, you look at the Dolphins, they have a lot more injuries than we do. Their injury report's, like, double the length of ours with a few questionable and some – as I'm looking at it now, you have a couple doubtful, the rest questionable on their offensive line, secondary, all of that stuff. Like there's really no excuse not to win this game. It comes down to pretty much talent, but the Packers, where the Packers are now, like Bakhtiari, we've missed him the last couple weeks. It's kind of expected going into this one. Zach Tom's been playing well at left tackle. Like, would you rather have Bakhtiari there? Obviously. But the way he's been playing, like, there's no excuse for us not to go out there and win this game. Like, it really just comes down to, are we actually good enough to make the playoffs? And we're going to see it this week.
Yeah. And Gage, I mean, David Bakhtiari listed as doubtful. I doubt that's going to change anything. But the one other thing I want to touch on is Aaron Rodgers this week. Last week was the whole big thing going into the Rams game was he practiced the entire week without any tape on his thumb. As far as, you know, his accuracy, other than that one interception that he threw against the Rams, which that seemed to be way more of a communication issue than anything else that we've seen from him this year. The ribs did. I mean, he looks pretty healthy. So, I mean, just you, from having watched the Rams game, do you feel that Aaron's probably back to pre-injury status, even though he is still listed on the injury report with ribs and a thumb injury?
I think that he is. I think that the Aaron Rodgers we're seeing is the Aaron Rodgers from before he was injured. But I also am acknowledging the fact that the offense isn't what it was. I just think that Aaron's never really gotten fully in sync. And I mean, that makes sense considering the fact that he's basically never had all of these weapons operating at the same time. So I think that until we see like Rodgers get on the same page as everyone, I think that you're going to have issues. I mean, like Alan Lazard is probably Rodgers' second most trusted target in the offense, maybe third behind Aaron Jones or Bob Tonyan, and depending on where you put those guys. Like, it's Cobb one. Like, Rodgers knows Cobb's going to be where Cobb's supposed to be. And then, like, Lazard is his number two or number three guy, and him and Lazard had a miscommunication. So that just tells me that he's just not on the same page as these guys yet. And you're hoping that that hits sooner rather than later. Like, if you think that Green Bay is going to make it to the playoffs, make a run, that they got to hit the ground running this week. Like, this is the now or never time. It's put up or shut up. And if Rodgers is back to where he was health-wise, like, he is fully locked in, we're not going to have to deal with accuracy issues or whatever, then I'm hoping that we see that this week. And maybe we do see the vintage Aaron Rodgers game that we all have seen over the years where he goes for 350 and four touchdowns and in a blink. And you're like, what the heck just happened? Like, where did this guy come from after not being here all year?
Yeah, absolutely. And I pulled up the injury list here real quick. And I was scanning through it. One big thing, the newest weapon on the Packers roster, Kesion Nixon, has a groin injury, but he's been a full participant. He was a full participant on Friday. So he feels like he might play an important role in this game as far as field position. He's been doing a hell of a job the last couple of weeks. So good to see that he was a full participant. Not great to see him on the injury report this week, but should be a full go for the game on Sunday. So, guys, real quick, let's wrap things up here for people so they can get back to their Christmas. They can get to back to their NFL for the day. Only three games today, so enjoy all three of them. But, Jimmy, real quick, people want to follow your work, get in touch with you. How can they do that?
You can follow me, Jimmy_C08. Lombardi's Bar every Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central. We have Kenny Clark coming on Wednesday live with us. So they will ask questions in the chat. So be sure to tune in.
All right. Engage. If people want to follow you, get in touch with you, how can they do that?
As always, you can follow me on Twitter at GBridgefordNFL. All my links to all of my work with Rotoballer and Denver Stiffs are over there. I normally do a Film Friday thing. I took this week off just due to like the weather and just some other stuff going on. So just kind of took the week off there, but that'll be back next week. Still doing betting and fantasy content generally at the end of the week. For Royal Baller, and the links are all over there.
All right, awesome. And as
lazy,
always, you can follow me
taking
on
a week off.
That's fair. I mean, I didn't take a single week off during like the pandemic for 6 months when there was literally no sports to write about, but that's fine.
Why would you take that off? There's nothing else to do, Gage.
Because there was nothing to write about, Jimmy.
All right. Well, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at producer Nick LB. Enjoy the games today, everyone. Have a great Christmas. Have some good food and, you know, sit back, relax, watch football, maybe deviate over into the NBA if you so choose. I'm not telling you what to do. Just it's there if you want something other than football after the Packer game. You know, depending on how it turns out, maybe you're done with the NFL for the season and you want to watch some basketball. But
Nick, give us again, a bucks and six.
Bucks and six? No.
Do you not know that saying? Don't add a question mark after it, you barbarian. No,
I know the saying. It's from Brandon Jennings. Yeah, no, I know the saying. Yeah, but you can't have bucks and six in a standalone game.
Hey, it's all year round there, dude. All year round.
Gage looks pained at this conversation at this point.
It's not worth it for me to try and explain it to you. I understand Jimmy's like point of view as well, just like the Suns and four guy. I know all the things.
Okay. Don't you ever compare bucks and six to Suns and four guy.
I covered the Nuggets. I had to watch that series and that game happen. I will reference whatever point. I please.
That's
sir.
A good point. But still, Brandon Jennings to a guy who just punched another dude in the stands and started talking to his friend. Anyways, go Bucks.
All right. Well, with that, enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy your Christmas. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. And as always, go Pack, go.